Okay, welcome back to the afternoon, Kolel. I want to do something a little unusual. You do not have a vast Mara Makomas in front of you. Today I want to cover some ground, because I'd like to really finish this sugya that's been going on for a long time about standing for a Talmud Chacham, standing for a Zakein, and I'd like to, as soon as possible, get to the next major Lamdash sugya, which is the question of Mitzvah Shazman Grama, Mitzvah Shalazman Grama. How do you define it? Very fascinating, Lamdas, Machloksim, and Halacha Lamaisa. But in order to finish, we're in the bottom of Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. We're going to go through, we'll learn this up together, just really basically pshat, in order to cover some ground to get to the next sugya. We could just skip there, which is the alternative, but there's something that doesn't sit right with me. We're trying to plow through this Kiseder. So I gave you the Gemara, the kindness of my own heart, as I continue to think critically of those who do not have their own set of shas, their own Gemara. Kedushin Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. We are on the bottom. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Minayin lezaken shelo yatriach. How do we know that a zaken should not be matriach other people to stand in front of him? Maybe the zaken, maybe the older person gets some kind of positive kickback, some endorphin release by walking by and having someone stand for him. So how do we know he shouldn't? Tamad lomar zaken viaresa. Because the Pasuk says, Zakein v'yareisa, meaning, b'pnei seva tokom v'adarta p'nei zakein, even though the words don't really flow in this way, but the Chazal see them in succession, v'adarta p'nei zakein v'yareisa me'elokecha, read it, Zakein v'yareisa, the zakein is also evaluated for Zira Shemayim. The zakein should not make people stand up, even if he gets joy out of it, but pointlessly. Amar Abaye, naktinon di makif, Chaye. Abaye says, we have a Kabbalah, we have a Mesorah, di'imakiv, that if the Talmud Chacham would take the long way around to avoid people so they don't have to stand for him, Chaye, it gives him an Arichas Yomim. It's a skula for Arichas Yomim to walk around and not make somebody have to stand up for you. Rashi says, imakiv, mesavev derech acher shel olav or lefnei atzibur, you find an alternative route that you don't have to pass in front of the tzibur and make them stand. Chai marich yamim, it gives you an arichas yamim. Abaye makif, Rabbi Zera makif, and the Gemara brings two examples of individuals, two righteous individuals, Abaye and Rabbi Zera, who both talmidei chachamim worthy of honoring by standing in front of them, but they would walk around to not be matriach others. Ravina v'yosef kame derbi yirma midifti chalaf ha'ugavra kame v'lamichse reisha. Ravina was sitting in front of Rav Yirmiya, and a guy passed by, and he had the chutzpah to have his head uncovered. He wasn't wearing a yarmulke. Omar said, Ravina, kamachatzav hagavra. Wow, what chutzpah! That he doesn't, it's bad enough he doesn't cover his head in general. He doesn't walk around with Yerushalayim in front of the Ribono Shel Olam, but to pass in front of a Talmud Chacham. So what was the answer? Omar lay, so Rav Yirmiya said, be malamitz chus, give him the benefit of the doubt. What's the benefit of the doubt? Dilma mimasa machasya niyo digise be rabbonon. Maybe it comes from the town of Machasya. In the town of Machasya, which is filled with Talmidei Chachamim, they all feel that they are worthy. They all feel that they are equal. And therefore, they don't have to be machabed. Says Rashi, digase be rabbonon, tamid regilim etzlam. Talmidei Chachamim are regularly circulating there. Volibam gaspa chachamim, kilu heim mehem. The Amei Haaretz are so accustomed and so used to hanging out with the Talmidei Chachamim that they feel comfortable among them, so much so that they don't cover their head. It's interesting that he was critical of not covering their head. Is this a continuation? How does this relate to what came before? A moment ago we said Abaye and Reb Zera walked around to not be matriach others, and now we're saying critical of the... So the Meiri says it's an inyan chadash, ein kasher le'inyan shelefano. This is a independent statement. It's not directly connected to what came before, but others disagree. We saw the sugya of covering one's head. First, the Gemara alluded to the fact that maybe non-married, single people don't cover their head, only married people, which we saw the Taz quarters of Makor, the Magen Avraham, I don't remember which, for the Minog, that only married people wear a talus. Some have only married people, person wears a talus over their head. We hold that everybody covers their head, but is that Meikar Adin? Not Meikar Adin. We saw the tshuva of Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, who alluded to the fact that when he taught in Rav Hirsch's school, they only wore a yarmulke for Limud Kodesh, not for Limud Chol. And that Rav Hirsch even instructed, don't cover your head, you'll make other people feel uncomfortable. So is it Meikar Adin today, once it's a Minag Yisrael to cover your head, Minag Yisrael Halacha? it has much more of a significant status, but maybe not Me'ikar Adin. But here, it's in the context not of davening or a bracha, so the davening of Kavod to a Talmud Chacham is considered to be something which is disrespectful to a Talmud Chacham if you don't cover your head. Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Bnei Seva Takom, Afilu Koseva B'mashma. We're continuing in the Brisa, which we read in completion a while ago. So the Brisa there quoted Isi ben Yehuda, who said that Mitnei Seva Takum, to stand for the older person, Afilu Koseva B'mashma, means even a Zakein Ashmoy. You remember the Gemara said, what's a Zakein Ashmoy? Was a machlokas between Rashi and Tosos. Rashi said a Zakein Ashmoy is a Rasha. Maybe you even stand for an older person who's a Rasha. Whereas Tosos said, no, a Zakein Ashmoy means an Am Ha'aretz. It's one thing if you stand for the older person who is not learned, that their years, their life experience enough makes them worthy for you to stand. But a Rasha you wouldn't stand for. Amar B'yochan Allah Kisi Ben Yehuda, this is in fact how we pasken, that you even stand for a Zakein who is an poor or Am Ha'aretz. Rabbi Yochanan v'kaye kamei mikamei save da'armoi. Rabbi Yochanan would stand in front of older non-Jews. Amar kama hapaktkei adu alayu dahani. Why did he stand for these non-Jews? Look at Rashi. Harpatki mikros v'tzoros v'ro nisam harbe yomofsim. Older people, I don't care if they're Jewish or non-Jewish, they live life experience. They've seen incredible things. They've seen it unfold on the historical scene. They've seen it unfold within their own lives. And simply their exposure to world events unfolding around them, they've seen, they've experienced, they've witnessed miracles. And that in itself gives them a certain life knowledge that makes them worthy of standing in front of them. Rava mekam lo koi, hider avad lohu. Rava wasn't as impressed. Rava said, I don't stand for the non-Jewish older people. I'm mahader. Give a little... Kima is standing fully erect. The hider is when you give a little scooch, a little nudge, you know, you make an inch off the chair. What is the nature of their machlokas? What is the nature of this discussion? So it's interesting, there's a machlokas. Tosos, on the last daf, on Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, that I was not kind enough to give you. But Tosos, those of you who have your own Gemara, can look, Tosos Maishna. Tosos there says that here when the Gemara quotes that they used to stand in front of the non-Jews, it means they were standing, why? Because of the hapatkei adu alayu dahani. Standing not to fulfill the din of neseva takum, or hadarta p'nei zaken. Remember we saw machlokas. Who's the zaken, who's the seva? Tamachacham, the old person. Is it 60 years old, 70 years old? I'm reminding you, which is long before Pesach. So you already forgot. All the matzah went to the brain. So we saw that big machlokas. But was Rabbi Yochanan standing for the non-Jewish older person in fulfillment of a mitzvah? Or as a nice thing because of all their life experience? So Tosfos there in the last af, on Lamed Beis Lamed Beis, Tosfos says, it's not because of the din, it's not because of the pasuk, it's simply because they have a lot of life experience, they've seen a lot of miracles, and therefore that life experience gives a certain life knowledge, book life experience, that makes them worthy of honor. But the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Vav quotes that Yesh lahader zaken goy bedvarim v'lasis lo yad l'somcho mnei mishum mipnei seva takum. That one should show honor to a older non-Jew with words to help them to hold their hand, and that is a fulfillment of the mitzvah mnei seva takum. So maybe that's the machlokas. But Rabbi Yochanan and Rava, Rabbi Yochanan would stand, Rava wouldn't stand. He was mahader. So maybe the machlokas Rishonim was exactly what this machlokas was. Is it a me'ikar adin? Is it a fulfillment of nesei v'takum? Is it a fulfillment of the halacha that you're honoring the non-Jew like the Jew? It's a function of age, not religion. Or no, really the mitzvah only applies to the older Jew. Maybe, remember we saw tshuva by the Shevet Alevi of Vosner. The mitzvah may only apply to the observant older Jew. When the Gemara says we paskin like Isi ben Yehuda, that even a zakein ashma, you even stand for the older ignoramus, but the assumption is that the older ignoramus is still observant, more than just Jewish. According to Shevet Alevi, they're observant. They're shomer tov mitzvos, they're just not a talmud chacham. So reaching an age makes them worthy of honor, even though they're just an am haaretz, but they're still shomer torah umitzvos. So here, maybe that's the machlokas. Does Mibnei Seva Takum extend to the non-observant, to the non-Jew? Or is it, no, only Kama Harpatki Adu Alayu Dahani, Rava only gave a hider, not a full kima. Leidark Yisholim counts also, but Leidark Yisholim could require... What?
It's not mentioned.
It's not mentioned because who says it's relevant? If it were relevant, Leidark Yisholim, if you're worried that honoring the Jew and not the non-Jew could compromise the safety, security, well-being of the Jew, then certainly we do a lot of other things Leidark Yisholim. Sure, because of Eva. Abai Yavi Yida Lasabe. Abai would put his hand out to the older non-Jew when they were walking in order to help him walk. Rava Meshadar Shluchei. Rava didn't do it himself, but he sent agents to help the older non-Jews. Rav Nachman Meshadar Gozoi. Rav Nachman would send his servants. What's a better word than servant?
His gabbai.
To go help the other people. Why didn't he go himself? Amar, he said, Ilav Torah kama Nachman bar Abba ika b'shuka. Because he said to himself, if not for Torah, I would just be like anyone else. Meaning, my being such a Talmud Chacham has made me distinguished. And my being distinguished gives me a status that I shouldn't be mochel. I can't be mochel. I'm not going to forgive. And therefore he says, I can't do it myself. I'm not going to be mochel. But he would send someone else to do it for him. Look at Rashi. Abai Yav Yadal Asabe, the first wide line. Posha Yadal is Kenan Kokamasha over Me'elu Etzlo. The Nishan and Alav, he would put his hand out to help the older people walk whenever they passed that they could lean on. Rava Yashalech Shluchan Lef Shalahem Yadi, which is an agent of Huat Malo, and Rav Nachman Meshadar Guzai, Srisim Shayutamid Lafanov. He always had Srisim before him. Why did he always have Srisim? Even more than Rava. Rava had Shluchim, he had Srisim. Says Rash, Lefisha Esar, Chosan Hanasi, Va'av Bezdin. Because Rav Nachman was the son-in-law of the Nasi, he was a Sar of the Avbezdin, he always had distinguished people in front of him who would follow through on Psak. So when older people would walk in front of him, he would send these interns to go help the older people. But he himself didn't want to in any way disparage his Torah. He said to himself, my chashivus, my status as the Av Beis Din is not because of me, it's because of the Torah. Because it's the Torah, I can't be mochel. Now remember, we did a whole sugya about that. That a Talmud Chacham could be mochel. Why? Because it starts out as Hashem's Torah, but once we toil to acquire it, becomes his Torah. Because it's his Torah, he can be mochel. If you recall, we saw a chakira of Reb Moshe in his Tshuvas, and Igros Moshe had a chakira about the Talmud Chacham being mochel on Torah. Why do you give cover to a Talmud Chacham? Because of the Torah he learned and knows that he's not entitled to be mochel. Or because of his amelus that he extended in order to acquire the Torah, the amelus that he extended to acquire the Torah, that you can be mochel. So that was the difference in the chakira. So here Rav Nachman says, it's not my Torah, it's Hashem's Torah. Without Torah, I would be like every other Nachman in the Shuk. What makes me different, the Av Beis Din? Because of Torah, I can't be mochel. This the Mefarshei, Abai Yov Yodel Asabi Mechabir Atzim, B'Zakein Posh Yodem. This is the second pshat, alternative pshat in the Gemara. The Rashash says, here Rav Nachman identifies as Nachman Bar. It's not a trick question. What does the Gemara say? Ilav Torah, kama Nachman Bar. Bar Abba. Was his father's name Abba? His father's name was either Yitzchak or Yaakov. Rashi and Tosfos and Gittin have a machlokas. So the Rashash says his father's name was either Yitzchak or Yaakov. What it was not is Abba. So he says basically his name is Nachman, the son of father. That's not so helpful in identifying. I don't think you can put that on your driver's license or your SAT form. So why did he say Bar Abba rather than his father's name? So the Ben Yehoyada says he didn't want to mention his father's name. He called him Abba. Abba was a greater Lashon of Chashivas. But the Chavos Yair says that we're talking here about Rav Nachman Bar Abba. There are two Rav Nachmans in the Gemara, Rav Nachman bar Yaakov and Rav Nachman bar Abba. That one, even though we know, it says Rav Nachman is the son of We have written one Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov. That's only one. Maybe this Gemara is a mucker, says the Chavos Yair. There's a second Rav Nachman in the Gemara. They both have the name Rav Nachman, but they had different fathers. One was Abba, one was Yaakov. Okay, weiter. What?
They lived in the same time?
Did they live in the same time? That I don't know. Then it makes a little bit more sense, right? Rav Yosef says the same statement. Kama Yosef Ika Bashuk. Rav Yosef used to say about Shavuos that he would bring an igla tilsa. He would bring the Rashi and Tosfos disagree, either the third calf or the third one in the line, exactly. But he would bring a special delicacy to celebrate Shavuos. Why? Because without Torah, Kama Yosef Ika Bashuk, which the Balei Musar come to explain that. Without Torah, we have multiple personalities. There's the me at work, there's the me at home, there's the me as a father, there's the me as a husband, there's the me on the ball court, there's the me in the stock market, there's the Torah, correct? Kama Yosef, I would be very fragmented, very divided, multiple personality. Without Torah, Kama Yosef, Ika Bashuka, there would be Kama, there'd be many of me. Torah is the unifying factor that Torah guides everything I do, and so it unifies me to be one distinct personality, not to be a fragmented. Or the simple understanding is Kama Nachman Bar Abba or Kama Yosef means Kama Yosef is I'd be an average Joe. I'd be an average Joe in the Shuk. I'd be an average Nachman in the Shuk. But Torah gave me distinction, or Torah unified my personality. Amar Rabbi Aibo, Amar Rabbi Yanai. Ein tam b'chocham r'shai lav v'nei rabo, ela b'shacharis v'arvis, kiddush lo yekvodo meruba mikvod shamayim. So we've just spent several blot talking about the halacha of nesei v'tokum v'adarta p'nei zaken, the obligation to stand both for a tam b'chocham, even if he's not old. Remember we talked about a very young, even a katan, minchas chinach, a katan tam b'chocham, or to stand for an elderly person, 70, maybe even as young as 60, according to the Zohar, even if they're an Am Haaretz, even if they're Ashmoy. But now the Gemara says, but that's not true for every Talmud Chacham. You don't stand every single time the Talmud Chacham walks by. Rather, ain't Talmud Chacham Rishay Lamod, Ella Shacharis Arvis. You stand in front of his Rebbe twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. Why? What's the concern? What's the consideration? To not look like you're standing more for Basar Vadam, more for a human being, than the honor that you give to Shamayim, to Hashem. What's the honor you give to Shemayim? Says Rashi, "Mikvod Shemayim, Sharei Pnei Yotzra Ena Mekabel Al Shachris Arvis Hilchu Mishom De Rav Shachris Ena Shalam Dov Ela Arvis." So we say Shema twice a day. We say Shema Esrei twice a day. So we show Kvod Shemayim twice a day. One shouldn't do more for a human being than they. After all, why are you honoring the human being? You're honoring the human being because of their relationship with Shemayim. So if you only honor Shemayim directly twice a day, you shouldn't honor the intermediary, you shouldn't honor the person who connects you with Shemayim more than that. Gemara asks the question. What? Yeah. Tosus here asks a good question. Ain. Says, Tosus Tema, Lama Ikbid Rava La'el, Shemak. Why was Rava Makbid? If you remember, we did the sugya before, and we came across Rava, came across those who wouldn't stand for him, and he was makbid. He was very upset. Says Tosfos, Shema kama panav shachris v'arvis v'lav adaita. So maybe those people had already stood twice, once in the morning, once at night, and the Gemara here enjoins them and says, you're not allowed to stand more than twice a day. So why was Rava critical of them for not standing and showing him Kavadat Torah? Maybe they were showing the greater Kavadat Torah by sitting, because they had met their quota of shachris v'arvis. Says Tosfos in Yira Lefarsh that didn't say Eina Noig Ela Ba'osam Hadaram Bebeis Harav to Mestama Amdu Shacharis Va'arvis Aval Tamidim Acherach Hayavan Lamar Afilu Mei Apam Biyom Shema Yira Acher VeYechashtem. Very big chiddush of Tosfos that this whole din of the Gemara that you only stand twice a day is in the Beis Medrash of that Rebbe. The Rebbe's walking the aisles of the Beis Medrash all day long. You did it once Shacharis, you did it once Arvis, Genuk, get back to the Gemara, you're good to go. Why? Because the Rebbe knows, Mistama, you stood Shacharis, Mistama, you stood Arvis. When one of those times he's going down the aisle and you're still sitting, he doesn't take it as a personal affront. It's not an affront to him, nor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you stood already. But, says Taisus B'Chiddush, that if you're outside the Beis Medrash, 100 times that Talmud Chacham can walk by you. You have to stand all 100 times. Because others may not know that you already stood twice and you met that, and you met that quota. Even within the Beis Medrash, guests come to the Beis Medrash, new Talmidim are in the Beis Medrash, they don't know that you already stood and met your quota, you have to stand again. So Tosfos really qualifies this din of the Gemara, he really narrows it down much further to say, when is the Gemara saying, don't stand more than twice because of Kodesh Shemayim, when everyone will know you stood twice. But if someone, not even many, if someone, he says, bo panim chadashos, I don't know if it's the same din like Sheva Baruch is panim chadashos, Shabbos is panim chadashos, I don't know. But if new people will not have known that you stood, are there, then you have to stand again. So the Gemara here asks a question, how do we know that a zaken should not be matriach the tzibur to have to stand for him? Talmud lomar zaken v'yareisa. That's the Gemara we began with today. V'yamar so shachras v'arvis bavad amalo nitrach chiyuvahu. So says the Gemara, if it's true that you only stand twice a day, the morning and the evening, why does a zaken have to take some circuitous route to not make them stand? Chiyuvahu. There's a mitzvah for them to stand. Let them stand, and he's not being matriach them. Because they're not going to stand more than the twice. Because the twice is the quota of all they have to stand. Elalav kula yoma. Don't you see from here that you have to stand the whole day? Not just twice a day. You understand the question? The Gemara said, a Talmud Chacham, a Zaken, should take some circuitous route. Don't pass in front of people and make them stand for you. It's not nice to be matriach them. Then the Gemara made a separate statement. That once you stood for the Zaken, a Talmud Chacham, Shachar, and Arvis in the morning and the evening, you're done. Don't show more kavod for them than you do for Hashem himself. Now the Gemara says, but how could that be? If really all you have to stand is in the morning and the evening, twice, then what do you have to tell the Zaken or Talmud Chacham not to be matriarch the people? You can't be matriarch the people because they would never stand more than twice. Twice is not a tircha, it's a mitzvah. So why can't the Zaken take the shortest route, even if it means walking by the people? He won't be matriarch them because they're not getting up more than twice anyway. That's the question. To which the Gemara answers, lo. Liolam shachar zvarviz bavad. Really? You only have to stand twice. Bafilochi kamadav shalei lo nitrach. Even within that, don't be matriach them. That's the extent that the Zaki and the Talmud Chacham have to go to not be matriach, is even within the two, to avoid their having to stand even for those two times. Amar Rabbi Lazar, kol Talmud Chacham she'in omid mdei rabo, nikra rasha. Any Talmud Chacham who doesn't stand in front of his Rebbe is called a rasha. They ain't no marach yomim, and will not achieve longevity. The salmudo mishtakeach, and they'll forget their learning. Shenemar v'tov lo yiel roshav lo yarach yomim katzel asher inenu yarei minufnei ha'elokim. This is how the pasuk is meant to be understood. That the word tov is, right, what's the pasuk? V'tov lo yiel, let's see Rashi. Tov lo yiel roshav. Ain't tov ela? Torah. How do you know tov is Torah? Shenemar? Gilekach tov. Tov is also something else. Tov is Torah. Tov is also Isha. Matzah Isha, Matzah Tov. Anyway, but in this context, Ein Tov Ela Torah, Shenemar Kilekach Tov. So, Alma, Rashi says, Talmud HaMishtakeach, V'lo Yarech Yomim Ela Ketzel. You won't have longevity. You'll be like Tzel is like, Tzel is shade. Shade is passing. It's fleeting. Matam L'fisheinu Yarei Milfnei Hashem. What's the reason that Talmud HaMishtakeach, what's the reason you'll forget your learning and you'll have a short life like shade that's fleeting and passing? Because Eino Yarim Lefnei Hashem U'morazu Kimahi. And what is the Mora? What is the Yira? Standing for the Talmud Chacham. That's how we learn the Pasuk. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Lazar now is Mevarer. Mora Zo, this Mora, Eino Yodea Mahu. When the Pasuk concludes that you'll forget your learning and you'll live a short life, why? Because of Mora. What's the Mora here? He says, "Ein yodea, I don't know what the Mora is." So Keshu Omer v'yareisa mi'alokecha hari Mora zokima. So when our pasuk v'adarta p'nei zaken v'yareisa mi'alokecha, it uses Yira in the context of standing for the zaken. It reveals to me that Mora is kima, is standing for a Talmud Chacham. So you see from this pasuk, the limud from the pasuk is, let's read the pasuk again. Because Einenu yarei milufnei elokim, and yarei is an allusion to of yareisa milokecha, which takes me back to vadarta b'nei zaken. Because you didn't stand for your rebbe, for tamidei chachamim, then tov lo yiyeh l'rasha. You won't have tov. What does it mean you won't have tov? You'll forget your Torah. You'll forget your learning. V'lo yarech yomim katzel, and you're not going to have longevity. You'll be like a shadow, a shade, which is fleeting. So ask the Gemara, Ve'ema, maybe the Mora that it says was the cause of your not having longevity and forgetting your learning, maybe that Mora is not that you failed to stand. Maybe that Mora is Mora's Ribbis. Maybe it's the fact that you charged Ribbis. Why would we think that? Because what's the pasuk when it comes to Ribbis? Dr. Ashi, Mora's Ribbis, they have a Ribbis namiksiv, atikach mitov yareisa. Because when it comes to Ribbis, it says, don't charge interest to a fellow Jew, v'yareisa me'elokecha. What's the pasuk? Atikach me'ito neshach v'sarbis, v'yareisa me'elokecha. Don't charge interest, show that you have Yirah Shemayim. Umoros mishkalos. Or maybe it's the fear, awe, having to do with honest weights and measures. Why? Because there too the pasuk says, Evan shleima v'tzedek yelach, Eifa shleima v'tzedek yelach. So there also, maybe it is the Mora is a reference to if you fail to have honest weights and measures, or if you charge ribbis to a fellow Jew. That's when you're going to forget your learning. That's when you're going to have a short life. How do I know that those punishments are the consequence of failing to stand for a Rebbe? So Rabbi Elazar answers, Pnei, Pnei, Gamar. Rabbi Elazar has a limud. What's his limud? Rashi. Ksivacha milifnei. Uksivhasam mipnei seifa. What's the two? The pasuk says, Asher einenu yirei milifnei ha'elokim. Right? Our pasuk in Koheles. V'tov lo yeh l'rasha. You're going to forget your learning. V'lo yarech yamim. And you won't have a long life. Why? Einenu yarei milifnei. Milifnei. You're not yarei milifnei. That milifnei, pnei, connects us to v'hadarta pnei zakein. So how do we know what the yarei is? The yarei is not a violation of ribbis. And the yarei is not a violation of honest weights and measures of mishkalos. The yarei is to that which has in common, pnei. He learns pnei, pnei. The yareisa, what's the word? Asher inenu yarei milifnei, and the yareisa, and mipnei, seva, takum. Okay? Why is it more compelling to be talking about standing for a Rebbe than weights and measures or ribbis?
That's the context.
In Koheles?
No, here.
No, but Koheles. We're darshaning a pasuk in Koheles. Pasuk in Koheles says, V'tov l'yelo rasha, v'l'yarach yamim ketzel asher enenu yarim l'fnei elokim. So what's the pasuk? What's the drasha of the pasuk?
We're dealing with the context here.
What kind? No, no. You're asking, no. The Gemara is saying, how do you know, why are you plopping the pasuk in this context about standing for a Rebbe? The pasuk should be in Perek Ezer Neshech. The pasuk should be in, why are you darshaning the pasuk? The pasuk's ambiguous. Why are you darshaning the pasuk this way? To which the conclusion is, not just from the Yareisa, but from the Pnei, Pnei. Now, is this just apply? We said, Kol Tamachacha She'ino Mibnei Rabo. Anytime a Chacham doesn't stand in front of his Rebbe. What if you're an Amoritz who doesn't stand in front of your Rebbe? Well, first of all, then you don't have to worry about V'tov lo yiyah, that you're going to forget your learning, because you never had the learning. So what is it talking about? So, the Sefer HaMakna says that we're not talking about he doesn't stand for his Rebbe at all. Because if you don't stand for your Rebbe, forget that you didn't do something special, you're going to forget your learning, you violate a mitzvah. The halach is a mitzvah saseh, you have to stand. So why would I need a pasuk to tell me this if it's already a mitzvah? So rather, what are we talking about? We're talking about somebody who covers their eyes in a way to avoid doing the mitzvah. In other words, you wouldn't need this pasuk in Koheles for somebody who's mamish violating a mitzvah. It must be somebody who's not technically violating the mitzvah, but what they're doing is not the right thing. And because what they did was not the right thing, therefore they don't have the merit to retain their learning or to achieve a level of longevity. Longevity. Okay. Why didn't we bring another possibility? We said maybe Mora can be referring to honest weights and measures. Maybe Mora could be referring to Ribbis. What else could it have been referring to? Not a trick question. What? You got it. Yerushalayim. In other words, why are we trying to say when the Pasuk says if you don't have Yira for this thing, you'll lose your learning and you won't live a long life, and then we're trying, oh, well, what's that thing? Is it you didn't stand for a Rebbe? Is it you didn't have honest ways and measures? Is it you didn't have Ribbis? Maybe the thing that you didn't have Yira of is Kipshuto. Asher einenu yarei milifnei ha'elokim. Before we started learning, if you and I were reading Sefer Kohelis together, we would have just touched the Pasuk because you lacked Yira Shemayim. That's why you forgot your learning. That's why you didn't live a long life. So why don't we just explain it, that it's talking about you didn't have Yira Shemayim. Why are we twisting in a pretzel to say it's talking about Pnei Pnei, that you didn't stand up for your Rebbe? So the Marsha says, because then it should have said, Asher einenu yarei mipnei Hashem Elokim. Like the Pasuk says, as Hashem Elokecha Tira. It would have said, mipnei, not milifnei. From the fact that it says milifnei, it takes it out from being Yira Shamayim Kipshuto and connects it to not standing for a Rebbe. Okay, Viter. Iboilu, says the Gemara, Benova hu Rabbo, Mahu Lamud, Bibnei Ovid. What's the case? Benova hu Rabbo, says Rashi, Vuhu Rabbo, Haben Rabbo Shel Oviv. The son is the Rebbe of the father. Who stands for whom? We have a conflict here. On the one hand, Kibbut Avim dictates, demands, child stand for the parent. Here, also, there's a halacha that you have to stand for your Rebbe. So who stands for whom? Beno v'hu Rabbo. Your son is your Rebbe. Ma'olamo b'nei Aviv. Should the son who's the Rebbe stand for his father? In other words, should he stand for his Talmud? Or is he exempt? Right, we're not considering the alternative right now. We're asking, should the son stand for his Talmud? Must the father stand for his Rebbe, who's his son? The Gemara is going to get to that. But for now, we're starting with, must the son stand for his father, who's his Talmud? Yes. So, Tashma, Damalei Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, Shinana, sharp one, Kum Mikame Avuch, stand in front of your father, Rav Yechezkel. Now, Rav Yehuda was his father's Rebbe. And you see that a father has to stand for his Rebbe. Look at Rashi, Mikame Avucha, V'yafa gav de Rav Yehuda, Rabbe de Rav Yechezkel avu ahava, Kedamrin la'el, Abalot etnei ahachi. Remember when he called his father and he said, you got the pshat wrong? So you see that Rav Yehuda was the Rebbe of his father, Rav Yechezkel, and yet he's being instructed here by Shmuel, stand for your father, who's your Talmud. So that's a raya, that a son has to stand for a father, even if he has surpassed the father in learning. But says the Gemara, no, shiny Rav Yechezkel. Rav Yechezkel is different. Why? Even though he was the Talmud of his son Rav Yehuda, don't learn from Shmuel telling Rav Yehuda to stand. Why? The Baal Maisim Hava. Afilu mar Shmuel namikoy mikamei. Because Rav Yechezkel was so great that he was a Baal Maisim. He was able to bring about... He did such wonderful things that even Shmuel stood for him, who's not his son, and who's greater than him in learning. So don't bring a raya that a son who's a Rebbe has to stand for a father who's a Talmud from Rav Yehuda and Rav Yechezkel. Rav Yechezkel was worthy of standing for, even if it weren't his son, as Shmuel stood for him as well. So Elamai Kamarlei, so why did Shmuel have to tell Rav Yehuda to stand for him? In other words, if Shmuel himself stood for him, then Rav Yehuda understood that you have to stand for him, even not as a son. So why did he tell him? Sachi Kamali, this is what he was saying. Zimna da'ase me'achorai. Sometimes, when you sit in front of me, your father of Yechezkel comes behind me, and I don't see him. So I'm not standing. But kum at mikamei velo techosh likara didi. Stand for him, and don't worry that you're opposite me, and that I'm sitting. That's what he was telling him. Says Rashi, Elamai ka'omalei amai tzarech la'asurei. So the answer was, sometimes I'm sitting giving shir, your father comes up behind me, I don't see him, so I don't stand. You shouldn't think you shouldn't stand. You should stand for him anyway, even though I'm sitting. But you can't learn from here whether a son who's a Rebbe of the father has to stand for the father. Iboilu, benovu hu rabo. His son is his Rebbe. Ma'o sheyamad aviv mipanav. So now you have the opposite. Must the father, a father normally doesn't stand for a son. But here the son is the Rebbe of the father. So does that supersede? What supersedes the other? The genealogy? The fact that the son stands for a father? Or the Torah? The fact that the father is a Talmud of the son. Which supersedes the other? Must he stand? Now we moved on, by the way. We didn't answer the last question. We left it as a suffix. But we moved on nonetheless. So the Gemara says, Toshma Adam Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ani eini kedai lama bnei bnei. I don't have to stand for my son. Elam yishum kvod beis nasi. Right? Because my son married the daughter of the nasi. So I have to stand for him. He's the son-in-law of the nasi. That's why I'm standing from him. But otherwise, I wouldn't have to. Taima da'ana rabbe. So why is it that I wouldn't have to stand for him? Because I'm his rebbe. Ha'iu rabbi ko'im na mikame. But if my son were my rebbe, then I would stand. So you see that a father should stand for a son who is greater in learning than him. So Hachikamar, the Gemara says no. Ani eini kedai, that's not what he was saying. Here's what he was saying. What he was saying is, Ani eini kedai, lama bnei bnei. I don't have to stand for my son at all. Vafiluhu rabbi, even if he's greater, even if he teaches me Torah. Taha ana avua, because after all, I'm his father. A father doesn't stand for a son. Elam yishum kvod beis nasi, the only reason I'm standing is because my son married the daughter of the Nasi, he's the son-in-law of the Nasi, to show cover to the base Nasi is why I'm standing, but otherwise I would never have to stand even if he were my Rebbe. Does that make sense to you? It's an interesting question. In other words, the Machayev of standing Kibbut Ava'im, we went through this many months ago when we learned the Sugya, based on the Sefer HaChinach and the Ramban. The Machayev of Kibbut Ava'im, the Gemara itself said, that when you honor your father and your mother, you're honoring Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why? Because we explained it. I only want to live my life looking forward. I'm on a timeline going forward. I'm independent. I take care of myself. All I see is my future. Halacha comes along and it says, stop. Turn around. You have a mother. You have a father. You didn't come from nowhere. You're not independent. Don't be so proud. Don't have such confidence. You're only here because of them. And when you turn around and you see your mother and your father, who do you see standing right behind them? Your grandparents. And behind them, your great-grandparents. And if you look far enough off in the line, who do you see all the way at the beginning of everything? The Ribbono Shel Olam himself. So the Gemara says, when you turn around to honor your father and your mother, you'll end up having covered for HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, because you realize, I came from them, they came from their grandparents, but you know what, we all came from him, and therefore, covered for my parents is covered for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the case, so if my son could be a Grace of Talmud Chacham, my son could be the biggest Rosh Hashiva, the biggest Tzaddik, the biggest Gadol Ador, he also has to remember he has a mother and a father. He has to remember where he came from. He has to remember with some humility. So it makes sense. He could be far surpassing me in learning. He still stands for me. On the other hand, what's the covet of Torah that we show? When you stand for the Talmud Chacham, you're standing for the Torah itself. You're also showing covet. In other words, both are mitzvahs that are means to show covet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I guess the question is, which is the more direct, or which is the more intense, or which is the stronger way? It's a very interesting question, right? But yeah, Ellie.
I don't answer that. He's only standing because he's the son-in-law of the Rishaluza, or whatever. That's schnepfish.
Yeah, no, because what he's saying is it's politics. I got to stand for him. It doesn't look right. He's the son-in-law. I give you an example. Not that anyone has to stand for me or I'm worthy of standing. But my parents went back to Eretz Yisrael today. But when my father comes to the shiur, let's say I'd walk in the room, everyone would stand. My father's going to sit. On the one hand, you know, he should sit. He's my father. He doesn't have to stand. I'm his kid. On the other hand, as it looks, I think that's what he means. My son is, he married into the Beis Nasi. My son shouldn't, I don't have to stand for him. That little kid, I changed his diapers. I don't have to stand for him. But I'm not standing for him. I'm standing for the fact that when he walks into a room, he's wearing the badge, the logo of the Beis HaNasi. That's what I'm standing for. But this conflict of which goes for which, I'll tell you this, because the Gemara doesn't answer it. But I'll tell you this, I give us all a bracha, that we should be zocha to have this shayla, that our sons should be our rebbeim, should be such talmidei chachamim, we should be left with the shayla of do we have to stand for them, do they have to stand for us? Yeah.
I understand the Gemara, why? It's not an either or.
Right. That both.
The son stands up for his father. If you're not in direct conflict, why couldn't you do both?
So a little bit you are. Because the whole nature of the Kibbutz Ave'im is violated when the father stands for the son. When the father stands for the son, you know the famous story of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, right, on the airplane. Famous story. Rav Yaakov was on the airplane, he was sitting next to some famous scientist, professor of evolution. Rav Yaakov's grandson happened to be on the flight, he was sitting further back and he kept coming to check on him. Zayda, can I bring you a drink? Can I bring you food? Can I get you a safer? What do you need? What can I do? And this professor turned to Rabbi Yaakov. This is probably an apocryphal story, but it's told by everybody. The professor told Rabbi Yaakov, no, my grandchildren, I can't get them to call me once a year on my birthday. Your grandson is so attentive to you. How are you zocha for that? He didn't say zocha. How do you achieve that? So Rabbi Yaakov said to him, he said, listen, I come from a belief system and I've taught him that we come from Har Sinai. And the closer you are to standing at Har Sinai, the greater you are. The further away you are, you read the Sadoros, the diminished generations. My grandson looks at me, I'm two steps closer to Har Sinai, he wants to show me honor. You teach your grandchildren that we come from monkeys. Your grandson says, my grandfather is two steps closer to being a monkey. I'm two steps further down on the evolution chain. Why should he honor you? That was Rav Yaakov's answer. It's a cute story. So, if a father stands for a son, there is something that you lose. There's the whole idea of the child. I understand. So I guess that's exactly. But that's the nekuda. When your son is greater than you in learning, is it obvious that you're standing for the Torah? You're also standing for him. Maybe this actually relates to that Rav Moshe Chakira. Rav Moshe had the Chakira about why we stand for a Talmud Chacham, right? Because the Gemara had a Havamina. The Gemara's Havamina was that Rebbe Shemachol Akvodo Ein Kvodo Machol. Why? Ki im betoras Hashem Cheftzo, first parak of Tehillim, it's Hashem's Torah. And the Gemara said, no, Rebbe Shemachol Akvodo Kvodo Machol. Why? Because the pasuk concludes, Ki betoras Hashem Cheftzo Uvisora So Yege Yomam Valayla. Once you learn it, it becomes your Torah. Rav Moshe said, what was the Havamina? What was the Maskana? So the Havamina was Torah Hashem. The reason we stand for a Talmud Chacham is why? Because he... If you stand for the chum, the Sefer Torah makes its way around the room you stand. So you stand for the person who memorized the Sefer Torah. But then the conclusion of the Gemara is, no, that's not why you're standing. You're standing sora so. When one makes a kinyan on Torah, you acquire Torah through the tircha that you put into Torah. You're standing to honor the effort that it took. So now you come to the father standing for the son. Is he standing for his son's effort to become a Talmud Chacham? Is he standing for his son's Torah? And how does that relate to the fact that his son really should be standing for him? How does it look that he's standing for his son? It's the opposite of the order of the universe. It's the wrong message we're supposed to send. We're supposed to say, turn around and look at your parents, so you see Hashem in the distance. Instead, what's the son going to see? My father standing for me. It's interesting the Gemara didn't have an answer, because it's a difficult question. It's a fascinating dilemma. Yes.
My wife and I were planning to move to
Yeah. Because your daughter-in-law told him to say it. No, I'm just joking. I don't know your daughter-in-law, I don't know you, I'm just joking. Yeah. He said not to because... Yeah. It's complicated. It's complicated. I will tell you, having my father half the year in my own community, it's worth having the Shilas to spend that time and to learn together. But I understand. But these are complicated. Yeah.
That's the reason why Kaveh is on the right side and not on the left side. Because your parents,
it's Kosh Baruch Hu. Exactly, it's the fifth Dibra. It's on the side of the Bein Adam La Makom. Okay, let's keep going. What are we up to? Iboy Luhu. So they had another Kasha. Rochav, when a Rebbe passes by and he's sitting on the back of an animal, Kimahalach Dami Olo, is he considered to be like he's walking and you have to stand? Or, no, is he not considered kemahalech? Is he like he's sitting and you don't have to stand for him? What's the status? Driving by in a car, going by in a golf cart, going by on the back of a horse, on a donkey. Rochav kemahalech dami. Zag drashi, rabo rochav kemahalech dami, v'tzorach laman panov, olav kemahalech dami, eliki yoshev, tebasrei dideos, lidin v'haka yosef. In other words, we're not following me, whether I stand, we're following him. If he's sitting, I don't have to stand for him. If he's passing by, I do have to stand for him. So what if he's passing by in a seated position? I guess we have this today in a wheelchair. A Talmud Chacham, a Rebbe, a Zaken is being wheeled past you. On the one hand, they're sitting. Maybe you don't have to stand. On the other hand, they're passing by. Maybe you do have to stand. That's the Gemara's question. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Toshma. It says in our Parsha, Parsha's Mitzorah, this week's Parsha. The Pasuk says, I'll tell you the Pasuk, it's not in the Gemara. The Pasuk says, Ko Yimei Asher Nega Bo Yitma Tameyu Badad Yeshev Mechutz L'machana Moshavo. All days he has the blemish, he's Tamei, he sits alone outside the camp as his dwelling place. Says the Gemara, Tamei Yoshev Tachas Ha'ilan V'tahor Omeid. What do we learn from this Pasuk? When the Mitzorah is Tamei, he's metame someone who comes with him into an ohel, only when he sits with him there. But if the Mitzorah's tame is sitting under a tree, and the Torah is standing under the tree, tame. So the Torah person becomes tame. If the Mitzorah's tame is ome tachas ha'ilan, he's standing under the tree, the Torah yoshev, and the Torah person is sitting, Torah, they remain Torah. Im yoshev ha'tame, if the Mitzorah sits down, ha'Torah tame. Then the person who was Tahor, who was sitting, then they become Tamei. V'chein be'evan aminugas. And the same is true, someone who walks into a Oel Tamei, and a person is carrying an Evan, the same halacha would apply. V'amrav Nachman bar Kohen, zosomeres, rochav kamahalach Tamei. So you see from here, that when you're sitting, you're kamahalach Tamei shmamina. Let's see how, says Rashi. Tamei omei tachas ha'ilam v'tar yoshev tar. Yeshivas tar lo ma'ani midei el yeshivas tamei. So if the Mitzorah is standing under the tree and the Torah is sitting there, he remains tahor. V'chein ve'evan menugas v'adam nosa tachas ha'ilam, person's carrying a stone that has a nega under a tree. V'tar yoshev, and a pure person is sitting under the tree. Lo nitma tar atche yeshev nosa evan. So the person carrying the stone sits down. That's what transfers the tumah. V'myashav nosa evan nitma tar v'afilu omid. And if the person with the stone sits, even if the other person is standing, says the Gemara, says Rashi, zoso meres midiktani v'chein be'evan aminugas. The same is true when you're carrying the stone. Rochav kamahalach dami. Delav basrei di deyaz linen ela basar behema nosa also. So in other words, what do you see? Whoever is carrying the moving stone follows the status of the stone, follows the status of the person who's carrying it. So the same thing is true here, that the Talmud Chacham or the Zaken follows the status of the person carrying it. Here, the behemoth, the donkey, is carrying him. The mahalich, he's rochev on the mahalich. He has the status of the person. Just like the person carrying the Evan Menugas is the one who impacts the status. The Evan doesn't impact the status. The person carrying it has the impact. So too, the Talmud Chacham or the Zaken is not the one who has the impact. It is the person carrying the Zaken or the Talmud Chacham, in this case, namely the Behema, who is Rochev. Lo basar Evan azlinan, al basar Adam anusa azlinan. Di basar adidei azlinan, afilu yashav nasod matar. Toi mesav yasai b'cheiko b'ksefo shal zanosa. So Shema Mina, you see from here, Rochev is kemahalech dami, that, you see from here, that even when you're moving, even when you're sitting, but you're moving while sitting, in other words, the Zaken of the Talmud Chacham in the wheelchair, you'd have to stand for him. Iboilu, ma'olam abnei Sefer Torah. Do you have to stand for a Sefer Torah when it's passing in front of you? So it says the Gemara, b'chilki v'rabi simon v'rabi lazar amri kal v'chomer. You stand for the people who learn Torah. You're not going to stand for the Sefer Torah itself? Of course. The Gemara in Mako says, Tipshim Elu, Akamim Misefer Torah Velome Adam Gadol B'Torah. The Gemara in Mako says the opposite, which our Rishonim ask here. The Gemara in Mako says, those foolish ones, they stand for the Sefer Torah and they don't stand for those who learn it. So in our Gemaras, it's a stira which way the Kal V'chomer goes. Our Gemara says basically, if you stand for the people who learn it, you're not going to stand for it. The Gemara Mako stands, you stand for it, you're not going to stand for those who learn it. Interesting. Anyway, Rabbi Dov, Rabbi Yaakov, Bar Zavdi, Rabbi Yasvei, Chalav V'Ozel, Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba. Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba came by. V'kama mikameh, they stood for him. Omer Lehu, so Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba said to Rabbi Loi and Rabbi Yaakov Bar Zvidi, you didn't have to stand. Chad da'osun chakimai v'ani chaver. Your chachamim, I'm just a chaver. We're colleagues. You didn't have to stand. V'od, Klum Torah Omedes Mei Lomdeha. The Torah doesn't stand for those who learn it. You don't lift the Sefer Torah because a Talmud Chacham walked by. So you, who are like a Sefer Torah, don't have to stand for me when I walk by. So says the Gemara, what was Shimon Bar Abba thinking? That while you're learning Torah, you shouldn't interrupt the Torah to stand for a Talmud Chacham. If you would stand for the one who learns Torah, don't interrupt the learning of Torah to stand for the one who learns Torah. So we say it for the learner of Torah. We don't say it for the Sefer Torah. For the Sefer Torah, you do stand. It's a misnomer, by the way. It's worth pointing out here. The halacha is not that you have to stand. When they open the Ara Kodesh, there's no chiyuv to stand. The only chiyuv is when the Torah is moving. We have a minhag to stand even when the Ara Kodesh is open. We have a minhag only when even when the Ara Kodesh is just open. But the halacha is only when the Torah is orum, only when the Torah is moving. Says the Gemara, a different opinion. Layat Allah Abaye. Abaye cursed whoever would listen to Rabbi Lazar not to stand for a Rebbe who's walking by, even in the middle of your learning. Right? It's machlokas. When you're in the middle of your learning, do you interrupt to stand up for a Talmud Chacham? The Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeus and Rish Mem Dalad sounds like it doesn't matter whether you're learning or not learning. You have to stand for a Talmud Chacham no matter what you're busy doing. Let's just finish up. It says after the Chet HaEgel, it says that when Moshe left the Oel, everybody stood up. V'ibitu acharei Moshe ad boa Oela. And they looked at Moshe till he came to the tent. Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha, Chad Amar l'Gnai. One says they said this disparagingly, v'chad Amar l'Shevach. And one says positively. Manda Amar l'Gnai was disparaging to Isa, as we saw. Manda Amar l'Shevach, Amar Chizki Amar Liabba, Rabbi Chinam Breid Avo, Amar Abavdimi B'dimin Chayfa, Chacham Over, Omid milfanav. If a chacham passes by, you stand as he gets closer, arba amos, within 4 amos of you. V'kevan sha'avar, arba amos, yoshev. Once he comes to 4 amos, you could sit. Avbezdan over, omid milfanav meloenav. When the avbezdan passes, you have to stand the whole distance that you can see him. V'kevan sha'avar, once he's at a distance you can't see him, arba amos, yoshev. Once he passed, I'm sorry, that's when you have to start to stand. When you from the distance you could see him, and once he passes arba amos, you could sit. Nasi over omid milfanav melo enav. A nasi as far as the eye can see. Ve'en a yoshev atchiyeshev bimkomo. And you can't sit till he takes his seat. Shenamar, based on our pasuk. V'ibitu achrei Moshe ad boa o'ala. You learn that they stood and looked at him. In other words, they didn't sit till he came into the tent, till he sat himself. This correlates very well, those learning the daf, with the last daf at the end of Horius, when you had this big machlokas. And they instituted these different dinim for how you stand and how you honor the different positions, the different personalities. And this correlates exactly with that sugya there. The minhag of kissing a Sefer Torah is showing affection. It's like a mezuzah, although did we saw that sugya? There's no minhag to kiss a mezuzah. It's a minhag to touch it. The Rambam, when he quotes the Gemara, you touch the mezuzah. Unklus tells the story that when the Roman guards came to take him, he would touch the mezuzah on the way out. They'd say, what's that? And he'd say, oh, let me tell you, come back in. He ended up converting every pair of guards. So we, to follow that, we touch the mezuzah. Some take it the extra level to show affection, but you don't have to. V'zos HaTorah, when you lift the Torah, v'zos HaTorah, you have to stand also, but there too there's a misnomer. People point with their pinky. There's no mucker for pointing with your pinky. Shulchan Aruch says you point with your forefinger. And what are you pointing to? You're supposed to see that, where it's brought down, you should see the letter of your name. Because Shishim Riba Osius LaTorah, there's a letter in the Torah for every one of our, there's a place in Torah for every one of us. We are affirming our place in Torah. You point, there's the letter of my name. There's a place for me in Torah too. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even say, Shulchan Aruch says you bow. It doesn't even say you point. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say you point. Shulchan Aruch says that you bow during Hagbah. Some do Hagbah, they make them, they don't turn all the way around. So some don't have a right, you can't say Zos HaTorah if you don't see the inside of the Torah. So people have to be makbid. I think the correct way to do Hagbah, which is often, almost always violated, is you first turn so the people on your right can see, and then you turn all the way around after that, properly. That's how it's brought down. But people don't learn these halachas. Okay, we'll be able to start. I have a conflict next week, I'm not teaching. I don't know if I was supposed to tell you that or not. We'll pick up from here. Very exciting sugyas coming up. Mitzvah Sishas, not to say these weren't exciting, so it's all exciting. The Mitzvah Sishas Man Grama, very fascinating. Big machloksim, Rishonim, Machronim. How do you define a time-bound mitzvah? we find ourselves in the period of Sfiras HaOmer. How do you define a time-bound mitzvah? What's a time-bound mitzvah? What defines it? Calendar, hours of the day, day or night. It's a very, very fascinating sugya because the Gemara itself brings examples, and we'll see a lot of lumdus in this area. Have a great day.